But we can hold our heads up really high. I think we've had some tremendous support from back home and from around the world. But, you know, we came up here today, 93,000 people, a lot of Kiwis travelled over. We felt the vibe from back home. The support's been outstanding. The guys have been forever grateful of it. And I guess we'll move on to the next stage in our cricket careers and our lives, but this is something we'll never ever forget. And you know, it's been a really proud time to be a New Zealander, even though we ran second.
Well, there he was, the captain of New Zealand, Brendan McCullum, and Sean Graff joins us, Victorian cricket manager. G'day, Sean.
Hello, KB.
What was he thinking, Brendan McCullum, you think, last night?
What, overall? No,
when he went out the bat.
Look, I think he would have felt the pressure because he knew that he would have been the one that they targeted. There was no doubt all their planning would have been around him. I know Elliott had a fantastic last couple of games and had a good tournament, but I really do think that Australia would have planned big time there to make certain that they did bowl full and straight at him, and Stark just delivered the perfect ball.
But he would have known that, but even from the very first ball he faced, Sean, obviously, you know, you talk it over with the coaches and your team and your tactics and how you're going to go about it, but, you know, he just decided he was got to swing at every ball.
Yeah, look, he most certainly thought that he'd got away with the remainder of the tournament and he was not going to change his way. I certainly think he maybe could have easily in those early overs, especially knowing how, as you say, how they would have been bowling to him, that he could have shortened his back lift, played maybe a little bit further back in the crease and be ready for it. But look, he unfortunately he didn't. I thought he spoke exceptionally well and really captained them sensationally throughout the tournament. So I think he could be justifiably proud, and no one likes finishing second, but the way his team, the way he spoke and the way they acted, I think was brilliant.
No, he's been a fantastic leader and handled himself amazingly well after the game and during the game, but except when he was batting. It just seemed odd that, you know, the person who's supposed to have had the, you know, the coolest head and the clearest mind, for some reason decided he didn't even want to have a look at the bowlers that were bowling 150 km coming at him. It was like as if I was bowling at him.
Yeah, no. Well, if you know, his record throughout the whole tournament was exactly the same. So I think he, you know, obviously he wasn't going to change his plan. He decided that's the way he's going to go, and unfortunately went down, you know, very very early on, which really put that team totally under pressure. They really needed him to get them away, and that way they could have forged the score around the 250 mark, 260, which would have been competitive.
Well, a lot of comment this morning has been around Shane Warne and his interviewing afterwards, talking about drinking and going out and having a good time. What did you think of that, Sean?
Yeah, look, I must say early on, I think all the commentary seemed to be along those lines. It was interesting saying they're going to be thirsty tonight and everything, and then Boof saying they're going to drink for 7 days, and Haddon saying he's going to have a drink with every 90 out of the 93,000 people. And I was trying. It did strike me. I wasn't upset with it or anything, but I did sound a bit strange considering that you know, they should have been focusing maybe more a little bit on themselves and the players and how they played and how they got to the tournament. But look, that's what they did. I know you've got a little bit of I think the early morning team had a chat to them earlier this morning. They weren't sounding too good. So, look, they've decided to have a night out. No doubt they'll be in professional mode later today, and away they go. But they've let their hair down overnight, and good luck to them winning it. But, yeah, I agree that maybe there should have been a little bit less of that and more made about the actual skills for them to be able to win.
And what about the sledging? Patrick Smith gave you know, his Geese Award today to Haddon and Faulkner for their send-off of Guptill and also Elliott, and he made mention of Elliott, you know, lifting the South African bowler off the ground and showing sportsmanship, and at that particular point of time it was a World Cup final, and sending off players like Elliott and Guptill. Do you have a comment to make on that? What's your thoughts on sledging?
Oh, look, I've never been backward in that side of things when I played, but look, I certainly think that it's all part of the game. But I think once you get someone out, the idea of sending someone off is mostly not quite in the true spirit of the game, and I'd rather not see that. I think it's great to have a real aggressive attitude when you're in the contest. I think once you've got someone out, I think it's time to let them walk off, and you enjoy it, celebrate with your teammates. But that might have changed. I think in my younger days it might have been slightly differently, KB, yeah. But when you look at it now, I tend to agree that yeah, maybe that could be done a little bit better.
Well, Patrick was saying that it's the look. There might be sledging. Someone says something underneath their breath that no one knows or hears, but when someone goes out, it's quite demonstrative, and it's there for the public to see.
Yeah, I agree with that, and I think there's a subtle way of being able to sledge someone and using gamesmanship, and certainly, you know, you're exactly right. You know, what Pat said is that, you know, you try and say it in the third person. You might say it in a subtle way, but they get the message you've had a win over them, so to speak, but you don't actually be seen straight out, you know, in their face being very personal. I think that's the message you don't want to show, and certainly last night there was a couple of instances there where maybe we could have done it a bit better, but when you're in the heat of the game and there was a lot of pressure on it, no doubt the Australians would have copped a lot of lot from that New Zealand crowd when they've actually got done there back in the round matches. So there's a little bit of feeling, I think, between both teams, and no doubt that spilled over a little bit. But I tend to agree with Patrick, and I think maybe we need to be a little bit more subtle when we do go about letting a batsman know that you've actually won the contest.
Sean Graffis joins Victorian cricket manager. Sean, Michael Clarke announced his retirement before the game from one-day international cricket. Made 74, ended on a fantastic note. Patrick said that when he actually retires from cricket, he'll be looked upon, as a diamond, not just a bauble that a lot of people think, he was earlier in his career. Now he's still got, Test cricket to go. We've still got the Ashes series. But how do you rate Michael Clarke?
Oh, look, I think he's been one of the finest players that have taken on, worn the Australian cap in all formats. That knock last night was pure class. Like, he went out there and took the game away from New Zealand the way, a strong captain does. And I think, look, there's a lot of criticisms about him over the time. We've discussed him on numerous occasions, whether he should have been captain, whether he should have come back as captain, whether Steve Smith should be captain. I've said all the way along he was captain of Australia, and I think he proved that last night, that he's a real, in some ways now, more like an elder statesman within the group, and he played accordingly. I think his timing and his balance at the crease last night was superb, and that meant that someone like Smith could go along beautifully, pick up 50-odd runs, off about 70-odd balls, really went unnoticed compared to the way Clarke played. So I think that was fantastic. And the way he captained the side as well, the use of the bowlers, their game plans, I think was excellent.
Well, Stephen Smith is obviously going to be the captain of the one-day side, and in the future will take over from Michael Clarke, but he's had a summer that he'll never forget.
Yeah, look, you couldn't get a better heir apparent, so to speak, to come in. The way he's played, the way it was really refreshing last night that I found, to be quite honest, was the fact that the way he's like just a big kid at the end when they won.
Yes.
He wasn't in the captain mode or anything like that. He just showed his raw emotions of just being elated, being a young lad who's had a fantastic summer, and he just really enjoyed the moment. And I thought the way he celebrated was magnificent. It was great TV.
Did you always rate him highly, Sean, when he first came into the Australian side? I know we used to take talk back on this program, and people used to be very critical of Stephen Smith, didn't think he was good enough, and as a bowler or as a batsman, as someone who's watching from afar as an opponent, did you rate him highly in those early days?
Look, I think everyone had a knock on his technique, which is quite unique. And the way he now, because he's got confidence, he's matured a little bit, knows his game, he's mostly tightened up slightly. He's still got a little way to go, I think, but the way he's batting, it doesn't really matter. I just think it's confidence. But I always thought he had the ability, because he certainly had a great eye, and he was very aggressive cricketer. He liked to be in the game. You can tell the way he's so fidgety, the way he moves around all the time. Mm. He just loves to get in the action. And I think his bowling is something that he can still work on. I think he could still be a very handy player for Australia. It gives you that little point of difference that he can bowl a few overs at leg spin. And I've got no doubt down the track, when he possibly could be captain of Australia on a permanent basis, that his bowling, if he uses himself every now and then, will be quite handy, a bit like a Clarke has done, like an Alan Border has done, like a Greg Chappell did to Steve Waugh. So I think it really does lend well that I think down the track he's going to be a very, very, very good player for Australia and captain.
Sean Graff has joined us. Sean, Mitchell Starc was the man of the tournament. I thought maybe Kumar Sangakkara may have taken that title, but he had a fantastic series, 22 wickets, and as we know, he also had the washout game as well. I think the same number of wickets as Bolt had for New Zealand. But in terms of Mitchell Starc, is this the turning point in his career in terms of the Ashes? Is he going to be our frontline bowler?
Look, I think he certainly turned the corner. Like, ever since he had that little bit of a problem with Warnie, and Warnie sort of called him out a little bit on being a bit soft, I think he's changed his attitude. Look, he bowls at real good pace. He's a very tall man, and he's got his lines right now. A little bit different when they're coming at you in a one-day game compared to a test match. But I think he's got the potential now, after getting such confidence through this tournament, to actually be the leader of the pack, so to speak. Australia's got a magnificent group of fast bowlers coming through. So I would think that he's going to be one of about six or seven that they'll be able to use across the summer and throughout the winter, wherever they're touring. So I think... I think he's going to be, with this experience, it wouldn't surprise me if he didn't stand up and become the leader of the pack, taking over from Mitchell Johnson, who has led that capably over the last couple of years.
We're pretty strong, aren't we, when it comes to bowling? You've got Johnson, Cummins, you've got Pattinson, and Ryan Harris is still involved because the swinging conditions, I take it, he'll be still available to go to England. I take it, Ryan Harris, with his swing bowling.
Yeah,
and Hazelwood's another one.
Yeah, so we're pretty strong in that area, and you know, it's something that I think all of Australian cricket's very looking forward to seeing all these guys emerge. The spinning side of things, we've still got a little bit of work to do. Hopefully, our bowler in Farwad, Ahmed, gets an opportunity maybe to hopefully go to the West Indies and possibly even the Ashes, because he's bowled superbly all season in Shield cricket, and he's already had a little bit of a taste of playing at the next level. So we're just hopeful that the selectors give him the nod, because he has matured. Even though he's an older leg spinner, he's certainly matured, because he's got to understand how we play, understands the Australian psyche, and I think he'd be a real good acquisition for Australian cricket.
Well, we've lost the last three Ashes series in England, so it's going to be interesting to see how we go over there. But we would think, just looking at English cricket at the moment, the Poms, and even the way they played in the World Cup, and they seem to still have a lot of heartburn within the change rooms there, that we surely we can't lose the Ashes over in England.
Yeah, look, I would like to think that we could go over there fairly confident, no doubt in foreign conditions, and the Duke ball, which we've always had a little bit of trouble with, comes into play. But I think they seem to be really struggling a little bit. Like, I'm hearing that KP is going to come back and play county cricket now, because they've told him that he'll come back and play for England. So I think that's a backward step, personally. You know, he's been a great player, but why would you want to have all that those problems come back in your dressing room again? So I would have thought that, if we go over there and we play well, I can't see any reason why we wouldn't win this Ashes comfortably.
And just finally, any news on the next coach of Victoria?
No, we haven't. We haven't actually made a decision there at all. Obviously, Greg's still involved and doing player reviews and everything, and then we'll have a chat after that, and we'll mostly make some sort of announcement, I would think, just after Easter. But at this point in time, it's business as usual, so to speak, and we've just got to tidy up everything, and a few guys will be having a break, and then we'll be coming back and starting all over again.
Because I keep getting told off the SMSs that Stephen Fleming, the Kiwi, the former captain, he's got the job.
Well, it's news to me then, KB. I don't know about that one, but certainly you'll hear shortly.
Sean, always great. Thanks for joining us.